Simply put, in my opinion, these stories have compared apples to oranges. Federal workers are not paid double the private sector, period. The Cato Institute and USA Today stories that quote Cato staff and similar studies by the Heritage Foundation are looking only at gross averages. And what they do is they include retail and restaurant service workers and other entry-level positions that, of course, reduce the private sector average pay total in comparison to the federal average, which doesn't even include many of these categories in our workforce. Well, the federal workforce today is a highly specialized entity. And if you wanted to be fair, you had to be comparing us like to like, job to job. You know, compare us to IBM or to GE. Don't compare us to every work job in the country, because we don't offer every work job in the country. 30 years ago, over 22% of our workforce was in blue-collar jobs. Now, that percentage has dropped by half, while the percentage of our IT and health professionals has doubled over the same period. And the data clearly shows that many of these highly specialized workers, you know, you look at doctors, nurses, cybersecurity professionals, they are paid less than their private sector counterparts, and in my opinion, are making a very significant sacrifice in pay just so they can serve their neighbors and their country.
You kind of addressed it, but you didn't. The fact is the benefits play a big role. And Sheldon Friedman from the Federal Prevailing Rate Advisory Committee mentioned that there was no good data on benefits when you compare benefits from the private sector and benefits in the public sector. But he made the comment that said that if you look at benefits at some of those companies that you mentioned, for instance, IBM, GE, pick any number of them, he would bet the benefits are about the same. Are you going to do anything around that? I mean, that is the X factor, if you will.
I would argue that our benefits are not in excess of the Fortune 100 or the Fortune 500 companies in the private sector. In many cases, we lag, which is why the president and I are supporting Congresswoman Baldwin and Senator Lieberman and Senator Collins' bill to provide domestic partner benefits for our employees, because, you know, it's an important recruitment and retention tool. It's an area that most of Fortune 100, most of the Fortune 500 do. We don't have that in the federal government. So there's just one example for you where our benefits are not equal to what's offered in the private sector. So look, there are many companies that don't offer their employees any benefits. And quite frankly, I'm not competing with those companies. I'm competing with the ones that do. And we need to be competitive.
Interestingly, at the press conference on Friday, Sheldon Friedman from the Federal Prevailing Rate Advisory Committee mentioned that federal employees make 22% less than their counterparts, the apples to apples, in the private sector. Interestingly, that number is a bit old. I mean, I think it's something that has been paraded out a number of years for more than a decade. Are you guys doing anything to update that 22%?
My opinion of that 22% number is it's, in many ways, it can be as misleading as the numbers that Heritage and Cato are throwing around, because it's a gross average. It is not saying every employee is paid 22% less than their counterpart in the private sector. That is not what that number is. It's a gross average. And we're required to create that number by the law. So we create it. I think what is a more helpful comparison, quite frankly, Jason, is to look job to job and compare job by job, how are we doing? And where we're under, we should do what we need to do to get more in line. Where we're over, we need to restrain the pay until we can catch up. But we need to look at that fairly and open-mindedly. We've begun to do that. We are working first within the government to get together all the agencies within the federal government that are involved on this issue, the Department of Labor, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Office of Management and Budget, our experts on pay. Look, quite frankly, the law on FEPCA is 20 years old. I know, because I was one of the congressional staffers who helped to write it in the first place. Anything that's that old ought to be looked at for, are there any improvements, if any, needed? I'm not saying it needs to be reformed. I'm just saying periodically we got to stop and look at things and make sure they're working as they were intended. Is this providing a good comparison, apples to apples, jobs to jobs?
Well, and that was actually my next question around what's the status of that effort? Because you mentioned that back in June at the Senior Executive Association's conference.
There have been ongoing discussions, and because it is an item, it is one of the we do pride ourselves on transparency, but at the same time, you do have to provide the ability to discuss policies within the government. And so we're working on doing that. I would think, you know, by September, October, we will have had sufficient meetings to come up with a game plan forward. And then I can better discuss with you what that would be, if anything. It may be that the consensus is there no changes are required. It may be that, you know, there are tweaks and other things that can be done to improve and enhance the program.
Was this last story the straw that broke the camel's back that said, you know, we got to be more active, more aggressive on this?
When they cross a line with sort of either exaggeration or unfairness, it behooves me as the director to step forward and say so. I think that these headlines that are characterizing that federal employees are paid double the private sector are ridiculous. There's no truth to them. They are unfair. They're untrue. And I guess how the media works today is, you know, if you get printed in one story, everybody else cites it, you know, for the next 3 months and it gets into the bloodstream. Nobody figures out where the cold started. In this case, this wasn't a USA Today analysis. This was an analysis by the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation, who are advancing a specific conservative agenda. And they aren't advancing facts that are true. They aren't advancing factually oriented debate. They're advancing a specific opinion. In this case, I believe, is wrong.